What's up? And welcome to Espresso with Erin and Sarit, the show where you go to gain the confidence and self-empowerment that you need to live your best and most authentic life.
Tough love conversations to reveal the simple truths that will transform your relationships, your body, and your bank account.
We are your hosts. I'm Erin.
And I'm Sarit.
And we are on a mission to transform the lives of millions through the same fitness, nutrition, lifestyle, and financial habits that have transformed ours.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our show. Our guest today is a fitness fanatic, an adventure seeker, and an entrepreneur. Being an adventure seeker, one of Haley's most recent adventures is the book Strong Like Her, a celebration of rule breakers, history makers, and unstoppable athletes. And today we're going to be talking about all things fitness, breaking away from the norm, female empowerment, and entrepreneurship. So if you are ready to get this party started, drop in a chat box. So excited! Hey, have you ever heard the Kevin Hart skit, Haley?
No, I don't think so.
But he was talking about how he went on a tour and he was touring in Japan and they went on this theme ride and everybody was like, so excited! So we've been like cracking jokes about it for like an entire week now. And I was like, okay, I'm going to be extra, extra. But Haley, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's exciting to be here.
It's a pleasure. And you guys, because we are super transparent, as you know us already, I made like three like boo-boos before like even like getting you on the show. It's crazy. Like it never happened before, but mis-scheduling and then miscalculating the time and then setting you a Google Meets instead of the Zoom link. It's just crazy. So, you know, being just a real human, I do apologize in advance because this doesn't happen, but hey, there's nothing that we can do about the past, but I sincerely do apologize. But thank you so much for being here today. But, you know, it seems as if fitness has been a catalyst in your life. So, you know, before we talk about where you are today, let's talk about how first did you get introduced to fitness and what role did it play in your life?
Yeah, that's a great question. I was always interested in fitness from a very young age. I wanted to be in activities. I asked my mom to sign me up for lots of different things. And even though she really wasn't into fitness, fortunately, she nurtured that desire within me. So I played a lot of sports. I did swimming from a young age. I did ballet. I tried soccer. I ended up with basketball as my main sport, but I was also a tennis player and I ran track for a while. So I did a lot of different things and it was important for me. I was very studious as well. Like school was super important and I put a lot of effort into school, but I needed that balance of having athletics as part of my life. And I learned so many lessons doing that, that I wouldn't have gotten in a classroom. So it was definitely integral for me growing up.
Do you mind sharing a little bit of some of the lessons that you've learned having played sports? And man, you've played sports. It sounds as if like you've done it all, you know, you've seen it all, but what lessons have you learned that the classroom didn't teach you?
I think resilience is a big one, especially when I played basketball. We lost a lot on most of my teams until I played on a few good teams, but a lot of the teams I played on were not that good. And you have to learn how to bounce back. You have to learn how to not let that affect you going into the next game or even just going in from the next time out. So I think being able to shake off whatever is happening around you and still like performing your best was something important, and knowing that you could put in your best effort and you might not always get the results that you hoped for, but that doesn't negate the value that comes from putting in that effort in the first place. I think that was a big one. Of course, a lot of the cliches are about teamwork, which I think you absolutely learn playing team sports. I think as well, just there's a lot of confidence that you can develop from knowing that you can practice something and get better at it, that anyone can improve by just putting in some effort.
Confidence is, man, it is such a powerful word. And, you know, this is something that, you know, we preach all the time. And, you know, confidence is something that I feel like everybody strives to have more of, but it can only be achieved by, you know, pursuing certain actions. And absolutely, you learn that in sports. You know, you said something that was super powerful, and it's actually something that I would say that's really resonating with the community with a series of events that happened this week. But you said, shake off what's around you while still performing. Do you mind giving us like an example of like a life scenario when like shit went sideways and you're like, what the hell is going on? And by the way, this is why I messed up so many things, because yesterday I was like the biggest mess ever. I went on a live video and like I cried in front of everybody because I just couldn't even. But you know, if you can like recall like one life event where like shit went sideways and you're like, you know what, still gonna get my shit together.
Oh, that's a good question. The one that's just popping to mind, because it's something I think about a lot right now, is this book coming out. This is not what I planned for it. I did not plan for it to come out during a pandemic. I had several events scheduled. We were going to have a gallery event in New York. I was going to have a launch party at Elliott Bay Books here in Seattle. I was going to sign books for people. It was just, I had built this up, and I've been working toward being an author for years. And this is my first book. It took me 3 years of writing and researching this book just to get it out. And it came out in April. So it was not what I planned, but instead of just kind of curling up into a ball and saying, I'm never going to sell this book now, I just started doing everything I could think of, trying to be creative. It was early days in the pandemic for promoting. And I really, I put together a social media plan and pitched a lot of publications and just tried to do as much as I could. And as a result, my publisher is like, you're the hardest working author we've ever worked with. And I haven't sold the most books. You know, it's still not doing as well as I would have hoped, largely due to the pandemic. But what I can control is how hard I work. And the fact that they were able to recognize that, that gives me, you know, a lot of pride that I'm doing what I can do to help it succeed and just help it find its audience. That's what I mostly want for it. It's just for other people to find it and hopefully take something great away from it.
Well, the good news is that you're definitely in the right place. And we're going to be talking about the book in just a little bit. I'm not sure how I've even come across that. But, you know, when I remember when I came across it, I'm like, okay, I got to connect with the author because this will resonate so much with our community. So, you know, for that, I thank you. And by the way, for those of you guys listening, if you stick around till the end, we are going to have a special giveaway and one of y'all are going to receive and win the book Strong Like Her that Haley wrote. And by the way, so the publisher, Simon & Schuster, that's like an extremely highly reputable publishing company as well. And this is your first book. So, you know, just like an entrepreneur, like I'm curious, how did you land Simon & Schuster like as your publisher?
Book publishing is a complicated industry. Uh-huh. It started with, first, I had to land an agent. And that, you get an agent by writing a book proposal. And it works a little bit differently for fiction versus nonfiction. But in my case, for a nonfiction book, and it's called Strong Like Her, I saw someone asking in the comments. It is, I wrote like a 60-page document, basically, that had a lot of different elements to it, like, you know, the chapters that I planned on, a couple of sample chapters, a competitive market analysis, different elements like that. And then I sent it out to agents and hoped that one would want to represent me. And unfortunately, I did have a few offers and I chose my agent. And then she in turn went and shopped it around to different publishers. And it ended up at Simon & Schuster's Gallery Books, which I was thrilled with as a debut author, as you mentioned, because I really wanted this book to have those resources behind it. And that was great for making it. It has a lot of photos in it. So I was able to get a photo budget and just was able to get a lot of things that I might not necessarily have been able to do with the book somewhere else.
I love it. I love it. So going back to fitness real quick, it seems as if for you, it's kind of like an anchor with all things like life related. It's like, you know, when you want to push forward, it's like you lean into that. You lean into it because it teaches you life lessons. You know, you lean into it because it allows you to express who you are. So what I'd like to know next is, you know, when it comes to the form of self-expression, I'm sure that writing and, you know, fitness have a lot of parallels. So if from your own life experience, you can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it is important for me to do both. So I talked a bit about what I used to do as a kid growing up. And I found when I became an adult, I was really focused on my career. So I was really focused on writing and I felt like something was missing. I wasn't playing those sports anymore. You know, I was exercising, but not really with any kind of intention. And so I started setting these challenges for myself. And so the first one I did was a triathlon, and then I ran a marathon. And then I climbed Mount Rainier here in Washington State, which is a 14,400 mountain. And then I rode my bike to Portland, which was 206 miles. And then I competed in a bodybuilding show. And that's what really started this whole idea for the book. But I think that having an outlet in addition to what you do for your work is super important, because it's really easy to get wrapped up in just work or just one aspect of your life, whatever it might be. So for me, they are, I guess, forms of self-expression in different ways. I'm just someone who's, my sister is very into astrology, and I'm a fire sign, and she says that my chart just says I need to like move all the time and I have to play sports. So I have always felt like that from a young age. So maybe that's true.
What's your sign?
I'm in double Aries.
Okay. Got it. I'm a Taurus. So I think you and I have a lot in common. But you said something that was really powerful, and it's having an outlet is really important. And I think that, you know, for those of you guys listening, that's definitely one of the things that we teach. And I feel like, you know, for women in general, that is a huge part of female empowerment, because a lot of women, especially, you know, moms, they feel guilty taking time for themselves because, you know, they're so used to, you know, wearing the hat of a career woman and wearing the hat of a wife or girlfriend, you know, or wearing the hat of especially a mom. So it's like the concept of, you know, I think that there is a social construct that's, you know, if you're taking time for yourself, then you're being selfish. But we're like, no, it is the most selfless thing, because once you fill up your cup, then you're able to fill other people's cups better.
Absolutely. I learned that myself during the pandemic. I definitely stopped taking care of myself as much during some points of it. And I realized I couldn't give anything. I couldn't be my best self unless I was taking care of myself. I just had a friend remind me of that this weekend. So I do tell stories in the book of mothers. There's one mother I highlight in particular, Patina Miller, who is an actress and was a Broadway star. She's won a Tony. And she, after she had her baby, she started to work out, or kept working out, I should say, started going for an hour a day. And some people tried to make her feel bad about that, but she was like, no, I need this me time in order to be the best mother I can be. And I absolutely think that's so important to remember. Sometimes it feels like you don't have that hour to do anything for yourself, but ultimately it makes her a better mom and fills up her cup so that she can give to the people in her life.
Amen to that. Okay, so you're also a writer. Now, what inspired you to be a writer? Is that something that, like, you know, growing up, you're always like, did you know from a young age that you're like, I'm going to be a writer? Or is that something that evolved? And if so, like, what series of events have led you to that?
I think it was always something that I was drawn to. When I was a kid, I loved to read. I set up a library in my basement, and I used to have the neighbor kids come through and check out books. I had like little cards that you would sign out, like back in the day, for people who are old enough or remember when you had to sign a card to check it or stamp a card to check in and check out a book. I had like that little stamp. So I always enjoyed reading and writing. I went to a young authors convention, I remember, in sixth grade. I didn't get picked in fifth grade, and I was really upset about it. I waited a whole year and then I got picked. So it was always a path that I think I was on. When I went to college, I was the editor of my college paper, and I still wasn't sure if I was going to go into journalism or any kind of writing profession after that, because there was a lot of doom and gloom about the industry at the time. But it's really what I've always loved to do. So I think it was a natural progression. And whenever I run into people I grew up with who I haven't seen in a while, they always sort of assume that I became a writer. So I think it was something that was always there for me.
Was there a specific event in life that happened to you in your childhood that, like, you know, brought you, it sounds as if, you know, from an early age, the whole concept of like a bookstore, like, brought you peace. But can you recollect like a, you know, a single event or maybe a series of events? Because I'm sure it's got like some kind of symbolism in your life.
These are such good questions that I don't think about that much. So I appreciate these.
Thank you.
I was really shy growing up. And I think that writing and like the written word is just an amazing way to express oneself. So it was hard for me to, you know, just walk up to someone and start talking. So I think that I developed being able to really express what I wanted to say through writing. And I got to, I'm also, the other thing that I love to do is travel. I love to learn about other cultures. I love to visit other places. And you get to do that through books. So I think that was another kind of contributing factor to why I loved to read so much. I don't know if there was just one single event, but those are the things that come to mind when I think about why I kind of started on this path.
I love it. And for those of you guys listening, if this resonates with you, like, you know, if you growing up were like a shy kid, you know, like, please type in a chat box so we can, you know, relate to you as well. Like, what was your form of self-expression? And by the way, I think the one of the reasons why anxiety and depression is really high nowadays, aside from all of the like bullshit that's going on, is the fact that people haven't given themselves the time to figure out, you know, how to express themselves. So they keep everything in, and it like, it builds up. And of course, if you don't release it, like, shit, what's gonna happen? So, you know, thank you so much for sharing that. But, you know, let's move on and talk about your book. So your book, Strong Like Her, was just released, as you said, earlier on in April. So what inspired you to create it?
I mentioned that I signed up for a bodybuilding show, and I started strength training about 5 years ago. And I found that, so even though I did play a lot of sports growing up, I never really focused on being stronger. It wasn't something that I did a ton of. I took a weightlifting class in ninth grade, and I did a little bit in high school, but I didn't really see as many strong women in the public eye as I felt like I was seeing now. And so I wanted to know how that had evolved. I also had been getting really interesting comments from when I started to train for the bodybuilding show about how I should be careful not to hurt myself by lifting too heavy, or that I shouldn't change my body in a way that would be considered unpleasing to the masculine gaze. And it was really interesting to me that people cared about that and were saying that. I mean, I had people who were like, how are you going to date? And I was like, that didn't even cross my mind. Like, how is that related to this hobby? You know? So that combined with sort of wanting to know how this had evolved got me going to the library, where I started checking out books on the history of fitness. And I didn't find much on the history of women in fitness. And so I felt like there was a real opening to look at how muscularity has been viewed over time for women, how it's evolved. And I really wanted to know if there were certain points in history where it was cool to be strong, or if it had something that had kind of like linearly progressed over the years. And so I just started diving into the research and felt like there was really a lot there to say.
So, you know, let's dive into your research for just a second. Like, what have you learned, you know, when you went back in history with regards to, you know, women appearing to be strong?
I learned a lot. I mean, that's what most of the book covers. I go all the way back to ancient Greece, where it was, it depended sort of on where you lived. If you were a Spartan, then girls and boys both exercised. They both swam and learned to play various sports and did different athletic activities. But in most of the rest of Greece, it really wasn't cool for girls to be strong. It was not considered appropriate for them to even be seen outside of their houses. You know, it was a very sheltered life that women were able to live. So I start the book there kind of talking about some of the mythological characters, and the first Olympian who was a woman. And she actually was able to enter the race. She won the four-horse chariot race through a loophole. And so she wasn't able to go into the stadium to accept her prize, but she did win. And there was a law at the time that women couldn't even spectate at the Olympics. And if they did, they were subject to be thrown over a mountain into the river below. And there's no evidence that that punishment was ever enacted, but just the fact that this law was on the books tells us a lot about how women were viewed and how much their interest in physical fitness was taken seriously. And then I kind of fast forward a bit, and I spend a lot of time in the 1800s and then on in various places like the circus rings of the late 1900s, the early 1900s, Muscle Beach in the 1930s, the weight rooms of the 1970s, the pedestrian tracks of the 1870s, which was America's first spectator sport. And so I go into these different eras and times and look at who the strong women were and what they did to push forward and be allowed to compete.
Yeah. You know, even nowadays, there is this stigma. So like, for example, I was born and raised in Israel. And, you know, I feel like in the United States and Canada, it's like now accepted that women are strong, because I think it's becoming more and more popular. But I know that definitely like in Asia and especially the Middle East, something that's like very like frowned upon. And like, for example, when Aaron and I have gone back to visit Israel, it's like when they see us, like not only do they take a double take, and of course, you know, if you're a foreigner, then you're very like blunt. I think that, you know, Americans are very filtered and polite in general. Like, you know, in other parts of the world, definitely not. So they would like do this. And we're like, that's comical, because I mean, we own it. And, you know, we know that it takes so much hard work and like years to develop. But even in the United States, like, I mean, how many of you guys listening, like, have come to us and said, like, you know, like, I'm like the only female in the weight room? You know, it's still not very common, but I feel like, you know, it's becoming accepted. So this is awesome. Tell us a little bit about the book. Like, what should one expect in the book?
You should expect, it's a pretty quick read, and it brings out the entertaining, like, nuggets in history. It's historical. I did a ton of research, but I made sure to kind of digest that research and make it interesting for the average person. So I mentioned some of the eras that I cover. There are a lot of amazing women's stories. Some of the athletes you've probably heard of, but should be at least a few who you haven't heard of before. And it also comes with 23 gorgeous photos of modern day athletes. They're all from different sports. They represent different body types, ethnicities, geographic locations around the US. So I hope that everyone who picks up the book sees someone who embodies a quality that they recognize in themselves, or that they would like to have more of. And I feature everyone from a rock climber to a weightlifter to a CrossFitter to a ballet dancer. So there's a lot of different stories hitting on different aspects of women and strength.
So it sounds as if it's kind of like a celebration of, you know, just like strong women and just female empowerment in general.
Right.
What would you say is your mission and purpose behind writing this book?
You know, my mission as an author is to tell a good story and to have people who read it leave thinking that they learned something new or that they thought about the issue in a different way than they ever had before. So even people who are very, you know, into the strength training world have told me that they've thought about some of the issues that I discuss, you know, that they just didn't know about those beforehand, or that the way it's put into context has them look at it a bit differently. I'm not necessarily out to change anyone's mind about strength training or encouraging them to try it, although I think it's cool and I think it's a worthy activity. And I have had a lot of people who've said, like, I've started lunging or I did my first pull-up. And that is amazing to me. But, you know, I'm just hoping that people learn something new and they look at women's strength in a different way and understand that it's not just about how much you can lift. It's really tied to all other aspects of strength, mental, emotional, spiritual. These are all things that feed each other. And it's not lesser than any of those others. It's all part of a holistic piece of the puzzle.
I agree with you 100%. I think that, you know, just like fitness in general, it's a form of self-expression, and it is a holistic journey where you learn so much about yourself. And, you know, we've already learned, you know, so much about the things that you've learned with regards to your own journey. And of course, I can only imagine that for you, it's kind of like this book is a part of who you are, because, you know, it kind of like shares, you know, something that's really close to your heart based off of your experience. Now, for those of you guys listening to this, if you love fitness and just like lifting and, you know, like feeling empowered and strong, then, you know, please type it in the chat box so that we can recognize you guys. But I want to ask you another question with regards to, you know, like the athletes that were handpicked. Like, for one, what inspired you to pick them, and how did you like connect with them?
It was a complicated process because I wanted to make sure that people were representing different sports, and just making sure that was accomplished was tough. I basically made a huge list of women who I would love to have in the book. It had a lot of names on it, and I started contacting them and telling them what my vision was and seeing if they were interested. I worked with the photographer, Sophie Holland, to decide, you know, how we were going to set up the photo shoots. And we worked hard on creating a good balance of athletes. And she had a few who she knew of because she has photographed a lot of women in movement. That's her specialty. So I really, most of them though, I just reached out to via a cold email. I found their contact info, and I was pleasantly surprised by how receptive most of the women I reached out to were. Everyone thought that this needed to be done, and if, you know, logistics permitted, we're excited to be part of it. So that was the hardest part, was just logistics. When you have busy athletes, getting them, you know, all together is challenging, but I had a great response from them.
So just like from a logistical standpoint, and, you know, this is just a question out of curiosity, like, did you pick like a 1 week where everybody like flew into the studio to do the photo shoots? Like, how did it work? Or did you like fly to them? Like, because I mean, it's a pretty thick book.
Yeah, that was what we were trying to figure out at first. So I was given 9 months to write the book after I signed the contract. And I spent the first 4 just trying to figure out the photos, honestly. So I really, that was a surprise as an author. And most authors don't have photos to coordinate, so it's not relevant for most situations. But we ultimately decided to do 3 photo shoots. We did 1 in LA and 2 in New York. And we did have people fly in. The one in LA was timed around a fitness expo that was going on there. So a lot of people were already in town. And then we did one, we spaced them out about a month. So we tried to find dates that worked for most of the women who we were chatting with.
I love it. I love it. So tell us, other than Amazon, where can everybody find the book if they're like, oh my gosh, like this really speaks to me? Okay. Is Amazon the only place?
No, the book is available wherever books are sold. So Amazon is great, but I also recommend independent bookstores near you if you have one that you like to support. A lot of them are doing free shipping right now, which is great. I've been rotating the ones that I order from so that I can try to spread the love a little bit. And there's also, bookshop.org launched earlier this year, which is also an online bookseller, but also gives some of its profits back to indie bookstores. So anywhere books are sold should have it. And you can, if it's not in stock, a bookseller is usually happy to order it for you. So lots of places.
Great. Well, I hope that you guys go get those books, but you know, just one more question with regards to anybody who, you know, who is an aspiring writer from your own experience as a writer so far. And for anybody who is not even a writer, just if you can share with us a little bit, like, you know, what are the challenges? And if you could give like any word of advice to somebody who's like, I know, like in my heart, this is what I want to do, what would it be?
Writing is it's a challenging profession, especially when you want to do something like this project where it is really close to my heart. So when I was getting rejections from publishing houses or from agents, it feels like both a rejection of your work and of sort of like something that you believe really strongly in. So that can be tricky at times, but I think, you know, it's writing is a lot about perseverance. You just have to keep committing to it, keep showing up, and just staying on that path that you've set out for yourself. I think every writer's journey is really different, so it's hard to make a rule. I know some writers who write a certain number of words per day or have other goals or systems that they put into place, but I just think write what you know, like write what you're passionate about, because that comes through in your writing. So if what you're writing about is something that you really care about, it will eventually be noticed.
That's powerful. Amazing. Well, before we close off today, we're going to be giving away a copy of your book, Strong Like Her, to one of y'all who's listening right now. So there is, other than us and Haley, there's what?
Pick a number between 1 and 40. Three.
I'm going to pick number 6.
Yes. She's going to love it.
Jeanette Glacier.
Yay.
This is incredible. So Jeanette, just connect with us later and send us your physical address. We will send you a copy of Haley's book. Haley Shapley, thank you so much for, sharing your time with us this morning and for waking up a couple hours earlier than you're used to and for dealing with all of our chaos. Like this is really something that never happens. And it happened to happen with you, like not one, not two, but three times. Like,
well, no, it's okay. It's not a big deal. I'm happy to be here. This is a great community. I can see that just from the short time we've had together this morning. So I'm so grateful that you invited me to come and share with you.
It's an honor and a pleasure. And by the way, if anybody wants to connect with you, where can they find you?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram at Haley Shapley and Twitter as well. And my website is HaleyShapley.com. So those are the best ways to connect with me.
So it's Haley Shapley. Okay, now I know.
Yes, but everyone says Shapley. And I think people are especially like with the whole book about strength, they really want it to be Shapley, but it is Shapley.
Okay, amazing. Well, thank you so much for your time this morning. And for those of you guys listening and or watching, thank you so much for spending your valuable morning time with us. It really means a lot. We will catch you guys tomorrow. Haley, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We wish you guys an incredible rest of your day. Let's start it off strong and end it strong. Take care, you guys.
Thank you for listening to Espresso with Erin and Sarit. On your way out, be sure to check out our website, erinandsarit.com, to keep up to date with what we have going on and maybe grab some free stuff.
And if you feel so inclined, hop on over to leave us a 5-star review, wink, wink. And remember, life is more fun when you subscribe to Erin and Sarit.